Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we discussed the merit of offering food and drink to wayfarers. We saw at the bottom of Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbi Yochanan mentioning 5 points concerning this phenomenon. The first point was Merachekes Es Hakrovim, and that was the point with which we closed the last year. This was learned from Ammon and Moab. These nations were distanced from Klal Yisrael because of the fact that they did not offer food and drink to the Jews while they were traveling. Umekareves Esak Ruchoikim, the Gemara at the top of Kuf Dalet mentions point number 2. And before we even continue reading the Gemara, let us take note of the fact that we have a long point marking. As you can see, in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a circled nun with a dashed vertical line that follows. That means that all of the lines opposite this dashed vertical line, all the opposite lines of Gemara, are here to develop this particular point that legima, offering food to wayfarers, brings close those that are otherwise far away. And this is learned mi Yisro, the Gemara says. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Bishar kir'en loy v'yochal lechem, Yisro, when he heard that Moshe Rabbeinu, was in Midian and had helped his daughters at the well in giving the animals to drink, he mentioned to his daughters, he said, call him and let him come to our house so that he can eat. So in the reward of Kir en Loi v'yochal lechem, Zochu b'nei bonov v'yoshvu b'lishkas ugozis, he merited that his descendants would be members of the Sanhedrin that sat in the Lishkas Agosis, an office or a room that was built right off the Azora of the Beis Hamikdash, the location for the Sanhedrin. Shinemar, Umishbechois Soifrim Yoshvei Yabetz, Tirosim Shimosim Suchosim, Hemo Hakinim Haboim Mechamas Avi Beis Rechov. In this pasuk from Divrei Hayomim, you see a number of different family names. Amongst them, you see the word Hakinim, which we've dashed underlined. Uksiv Hosam. The pasuk in Sefer Shoftim says, Uvenei Keni Choisein Moshe Olu Meir HaTmoram Es Bnei Yehuda Midbar Yehuda Asher Benegev Arod Vayelech Vayeshiv Es Ha'om. We see a reference to Choisein Moshe, namely Yisro, the father-in-law of Moshe, and the expression B'nai Keni. So we see Keni in connection with Yisro, and the pasuk from Divrei Hayomim, which mentions the Kinim, that were members of the Sofrim, which were the scholars that constituted the Sanhedrin. As we continue in the Gemara, we see point number 3, featured, that the third aspect or third merit that is derived from feeding wayfarers, umalemes einayim in orashoyim, it causes the eyes of Hashem kivyochol to be hidden from the wicked. In other words, someone who otherwise is wicked, but if he practices legima, giving food to wayfarers, he can be spared of what otherwise would be a more severe punishment for his rishus. And this is learned from Micha, that we already saw on the previous daf, who was a person who practiced idolatry and attempted to influence the public to follow him. But nevertheless, when there was a debate whether or not to cast him out of Olam Haba, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Leave him be." In other words, don't penalize him with that penalty, because he provides food for wayfarers. Number four, Umashre Shechino al Nevi Habal. Providing food to wayfarers can enable the divine presence to settle upon false prophets. And this is learned, Mechavero shel Ido Hanovi, Dichtiv, Vayihem Yoshvim El Hashulchan, Vidvar Hashem El Hanovi, Asher Heshivo. In that story involving Ido Hanovi, who was a legitimate prophet, there was a false prophet that offered him to come to his house and eat a meal. And Bishus, in the merit that he fed Ido Hanovi, this false prophet had experienced Shechina, divine presence. And the fifth point, Vishigigoso Oyle Zadon, that one who is not careful with this matter, even if by mistake, it is when one should offer food and mistakenly doesn't offer food, he can pay very heavily, in fact, pay with his life. And this is learned from the following. De Omar, Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Ilmole, Hilveu, Yehoinason, Ludovic, De Kikras Lechem. If Yehoinason would have given, or even loaned to David, two loaves of bread. In other words, we know from the Tanakh that David was on the run from Shaul, and David had a deep friendship with Yehoinason, and at the point that they parted from one another, Yehoinason sent off David, but he didn't provide him with food. As a result of David leaving without food, he eventually had to seek help from the Kohanim in Nov. And when Shaul HaMelech got wind of that the Nov community supported David, he saw to it that they would be killed off. And as a result of that, Shaul and his sons, including Yehoinason himself, paid with their lives. In addition to that, Doeg HaAdomi also died because of his involvement with that particular story. So a number of people died as a result of Yehoinason not providing food for David. So that's what Rav Yehuda Amarav says, that had Yehoinason given David two kikros lechem, then loy neherga Nov Yerakonim, point Aleph, that the city of Nov wouldn't have been killed, because David never would have gone to them for support, for food. Velo nitrad Doeg HaDomi, and then Doeg HaDomi would have never had grounds for telling or squealing to Shaul about the fact that Nov protected David, gave him food. And velo neherag Shaul u'shlosh bonav, because as a result of Shaul ordering the death of Nov, so Shaul and his three sons died in battle eventually. As you can see with the markings, a bracket closes here. This was a bracket that started on the previous shiur on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, and we already noted when we were learning Kuf Gimel Amud Beis that at this point the Gemara would be picking up the list that started earlier. As you can see, if you glance back at Kuf Gimel Beis, you notice this crown form, one of our geometric forms indicating a series. And this series was featured by Mitnei Ma'alo Monu. Why weren't certain individuals counted in the list of those that lose their chelek in Olam Haba? Even though they are perceived as very wicked individuals, they still are not in the list found in the Mishnah, and the question is, why not? So we are now up to number 3 in those questions, and this you can see by our numbering that you find to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, little numbers that are within these little crown forms. Umitnei ma lo mono es ochos. Why wasn't ochos counted as one of the kings that loses his chelik in Olam Haba? We know that ochos was a very wicked individual. In order to answer this, we have several responses, and this is indicated by our mivneh, our structural note that you find in the outside margin, the mivneh. You notice diamonds used in numbering this from 1 to 3. These are three tshuvos, three answers, lama lo mono es ochaz, why ochaz is not counted in the list of those that lose their chelik in olam haba. So number one, Amar Yirmi bar Abba, mitnei shemutal bein shnei tzadikim, bein yosam lechizkio, because chronologically or genealogically, he is positioned between two righteous individuals. So the fact that he's sandwiched in between the two righteous individuals serves as protection for him as well. His father Yosam, and his son Chizkio, two righteous people. Rav Yosef Omar, mipnei shehoya loiboshes ponem Yishayo, because Ochaz had shown embarrassment from the prophet. The fact that he showed embarrassment showed that he had some type of internal conscience that created this embarrassment, and this actually saved him. Shenemar, Vayomer Hashem el Yishayo, the Pasuk says that Hashem addressed the prophet Yishayo, Tseino lekras Ochaz, go and greet the king, Ato, you go, Ushar Yoshuv Benecho, El Ktse Tolas Abrecho, El Yoina, El Mesilas, Stay Koyves. And as far as the Pasuk is concerned, it seems that Kodesh Baruch is telling the prophet to go see and speak to Ochaz in a particular location. But the Gemara now focuses on the word koves that was found at the end of the quote. My koves, ikal di amri de kavshinu le'ape v'cholaf. One opinion is that koves is interchangeable with the term kovesh, where it means he hid his face. He turned his face away or hid his face so that the prophet wouldn't notice him. The ikal di amri, another approach to this word koves, is using the word koves, which literally means washing, as in washing clothing. And it's explained, uchlo de katsri chos sochaf areshe v'cholaf. He took a washman's board, a vessel. The uchlo de katsri is a vessel that washmen use for washing clothing, and he took this and covered his head with it so as to create a sense of a mask, if you will, so that the prophet wouldn't notice him, v'cholaf, and would walk by. Bipnei ma lo monu es amoin, another highly wicked individual, why was he not counted? Answer, mipnei kvodo shel Yoshio, because of the honor of his son, Yoshio, the son of Amon, who was a major tzaddik, and the merit of his son saved the father. So the Gemara asks, well, Menashe, who is in the list of those that lose their chelek in Olam Abo, nami lo nimni, let him also not be counted, mekvodo shil Chizkio, because of the honor of his father, Chizkio. So the Gemara answers, there's a difference in the relationship. Bro mezaki abo, a son, like in the case of Yoshio, he can save his father, Amoin. However, Abo, a father, like Chizkio, lo mezaki bro, he cannot save, in other words, the merits of the father does not save the son, Menashe. Dichtiv, v'ein miyodi matzil. The Pasuk says, and there is no one saving themselves from me. Namely, I have a punishment to issue, and no one is going to save them. Who is this referring to? Ein Avraham matzil es Yishmael. Once again, you see a father does not save his son. The Ein Yitzchok matzil es Esav, nor does Yitzchok save his son Esav. Well, hashda da'asiz lahachi. Notice we have a number three that appears in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. If you see a three, this draws your attention back to the two and one that appeared above. These were responses to the question of why is Ochaz not listed. So now that we've come to this last, now that we've come to this point in discussing Amon, we can now use this information of Bro Mezaki Abba. Why is Amon not counted? Because he had a pious son. So now that we've come up with this answer, Ochaz Nami, the issue of Ochaz, who was discussed in the previous crowned question, namely crown number three, when the issue of why is Ocha is not mentioned, we can now use this answer that we gave regarding Amon to explain Ocha's as well, the concept of Bro Mezaki Abba. So the Gemara says, let's read this again, Hashta Da'asis Lachi, now that we've come to this point, Ocha's Nami Loi Imni, let us not, we can explain why Ochaz is also not counted, Mishum Kavoido Sheol Chizkio, because of his son, the son of Ochaz, Chizkio, who was very pious. Umevema lo monu es Yehoyakim. Why was he not counted? Yehoyakim, another one of the kings, toward the end of the first Beis Hamikdash. The answer to that is because he received atonement through another incident. And we can say very briefly, we can say 2 points. Number one, that this story that we're about to read in the Gemara is something we've learned already earlier in this Maseches. And it tells us that he experienced the extreme embarrassment and debasement in that he was not buried. So the lack of burial that he experienced ended up, even though as embarrassing and as defiling as that may be, nevertheless, it serves as an atonement so that his chelek in Olam Haba is preserved for him. So the question then is, why was Yehoyakim not mentioned? And we gave the answer very briefly in that he never received a proper burial. The Gemara features this as part of a long answer, and this is indicated by the tuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines opposite this are part of the answer. The Gemara continues, Mishum de Rebbe Chiya Bar Avuya. The answer is based on Rebbe Chiya Bar Avuya, Diyama Rebbe Chiya Bar Avuya, Kosiv al Gulgalto shel Yehoyakim. There was written on the skull of Yehoyakim, Zois v'oid acheres. This and one other. In other words, this is a reference to two forms of atonement that he experienced. Zikeno de Rebbe Preda, the grandfather of Rebbe Preda. The grandfather happened to be, according to Rashi earlier in the Masechta, is Rebbe Chiya Bar Avuya. Ashkach Gulgalto, he found a skull, Dahavi Koshadya Bashar Yushalayim, that was cast out in the gates of Jerusalem. Vikosiv Ba, and written on the skull was Zois V'Oida Cheres. This and something else. Kovro V'lo Ikbara. He attempted to bury it, but it resisted being buried. He tried again. Kovro V'lo Ikbara. Seemed to resist burial. Maybe it floated up. Omar, so Rabbi Chiya Bar Avuya concluded, Gulgalto shel Yehoyakim, this must be the skull of Yehoyakim. Seeing this miraculous event taking place, he came to this conclusion, Dichtiv Bey, because regarding Yehoyakim, it says, Kvuras Chamor Yikover, Sechoiv V'Hashlech. In other words, the burial of a donkey, which really is a non-burial, simply cast out. Omar, Rabbi Chiya Bar Avuya, said, Malka hu. It is, however, the remains of a king. Lo ichshar lezilzuli bei. It's not proper that it should experience such embarrassment, such zilzul, derision. Korcha b'shiroi v'oisva b'sifta. He wrapped it up in some material and put it in a box. Chazisa devisu. The wife of Rabbi Chiya saw what he was doing. Sovra ha deitza kamaisa have. She figured that this was the skull of his first wife. That he cannot forget her, so he's showing his adoration for her, that even though she's dead, but he's putting her remains close to him in a box. Well, Shogra Tanura Vakosa, the current wife of Rabbi Chiya Bar Avuya, fired up the oven and burnt that skull. With this, we understand what was written on the skull. two acts of vengeance against Jehoiakim. Not only was he not buried, but his remains were also burnt. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. We have a Tanaic source. As you can see, several lines of Gemara are featured in a frame, setting it apart from the rest of the Gemara text. This is a Brisa, and if the Brisa features Chizkiyo HaMelech, and we see a chain of events that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar features, B'shvil HaToiv Beinecha Al-Sisi, because Chizkiyo was taking credit for himself when he spoke to God, and he said, "Remember me for all of the good things that I have done." So, because of that, Ma Ois, when it came to his miraculous recuperation from his sickness, he didn't rely on the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone, but he asked for a sign as well. And Bishvil Ma'ois, and because he asked for a sign, which is it's a lower level of commitment, we'll say, that a person shows when he doesn't rely on the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone, but asks for a sign in addition to that. Well, because of that, Nochrim Ochlu Al Shulchano, he ended up hosting idol worshippers on his table, and they happened to be the emissaries of Merodach Baladon ben Baladon, the king of Bovel, that we have learned about earlier in this Maseches. And Bishvil Shenochrim Ochlu Al Shulchano, because he hosted these idol worshippers, hosted them at a meal, Goram Golos Labanov. This eventually led to his own descendants going into their exile, the exile of Bovel. Messiah Lechizkiya, this supports a teaching of the Rav Chizkiya, not to be confused with the king. The Omar Chizkiya, the sage Chizkiya said, Kol Hamizamein Uvi Kechovim Lesoch Beso. Anyone who invites an idol worshipper into his house, umeshamish alav, and serves him, goreim golos labonov, will be causing the exile of his own descendants. Shenemar, umibonecho asher yetsu mimcho, asher toilid, yikochu, vehoyu sarisim vehechal melech bovel. And from your descendants, this pasuk being said to Chizkiyo, those descendants that come forth from you, they will end up being taken from your midst and working as servants in the palace of the king of Bovel. The Gemara continues with the king Chizkiyo's encounter with the emissaries from Bovel, and it shows that the psukim show that he enjoyed very much the fact that they came to him and he was able to host them. Vayismach aleihem Chizkiyo vayareim es kol es beis nechoisoi es hakesef vesazov vesabsomim veshashemen hatov v'chulei. He was happy to have them and he showed them all of his wealth. Omar Rav, my base nechoso, the posuk featured that he showed them his base nechoso. What is that a reference to? So we have here three pshatim. Omar Rav, and we've numbered them, and you can see them in the space between the lines. Number one, Rav says, my base nechoso, ishto hishkeso aleihem. It's a reference to his wife serving them. The king's wife, Chizkiyo's wife, served these guests, idol worshippers that represented the king of Bovel. How you see in the word Nechoso a reference to one's wife, so Rashi elaborates on that point, but we will go further in the Gemara. Number two, Shmuel Amar, Beis Ginozov Hera Lohem, his treasury he showed them. And number three, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Zin Oichel Zin Hera Lohem. That's a reference to iron that's capable of smashing other iron, called super reinforced arms that are capable of destroying other arms. At this point in the Gemara, we have a numbering system using colored in tipped triangles. And the numbering system not only appears between the lines at the point that the new point arises, but we also have running down the side of the Gemara on the to the right of the Gemara text the numbering system, and it continues all the way down Kuf Dalet Amud Beis as well. Under our topic heading and structural note, the Nosei Mivneh, you can see in the outside margin a triangle with a colored end tip. Drushos al Psukim Nivchore B'Megillas Echa. We're going to have drushos, expositions concerning a number of chosen Psukim from the Book of Echa. We will be noticing double underlinings as we go along. That's Havlotas Rabo Am Rav Yochanan. We're going to be emphasizing his name. Roiv Hadroshos al Psuke Echa Dehocha Heim Shelo. V'chein Mofia Kedoresh Psukim Achirim. Most of the drushes that we will see on the Psukim are done by him, hence we've chosen to emphasize his name. Not only Psukim from Echa, but other Psukim as well in the course of this Gemara. We will also encounter a diamond with a colored in tip, and those are going to be emphasizing the expression Mipnei Ma Loku. Why were they afflicted? And we'll see that in its context. So we begin the Gemara, and we ought to note that in our numbering system, we're going to end up with 14 psukim being darshaned in this series. So number one is Echa Yoshva Badod. Omar Rabba Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Mipnei Ma Loku BeEcha. The Book of Echa is a Megillah authored by Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Describing the impending destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So why is the word Echa chosen as the word that indicates this destruction? The answer is, Mipnei She'ovru al Shloshim V'Sheish Krisos Shebatorah. The word Echa has a numerical value of 36. And the Rabbi Omer Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that because they violated the 36 different Averas, different sins involving the Kores penalty, this word is used that has the numerical value of 36, announcing their impending destruction. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipnei Ma Loku Ba'alef Beis. The Book of Echa is composed by psukim, each one beginning with the letter of the alphabet in order. Generally speaking, in order. So why is it that this book announcing the destruction appears in this Aleph Beis fashion, in alphabetical order? Bipnei she'ovru al ha'Torah she'nitna ba'Aleph Beis, because the Jewish people had violated the Torah, which is composed of words formed by the letters of the alphabet, Aleph, Beis, etc. Yoshva Badod. Pasuk says that the Almona featured in the Book of Echa, the widow, who's the parallel or the analogy to Klal Yisrael, sits alone. Omar Rabo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ani Omarti, I said as a blessing in the Torah, Vishkon Yisrael Betach, Bodod Ein Yaakov El Eretz Dogon V'Tirosh. Af Shomav Yarfu Tal. The bracha is a pasuk of blessing, and part of the blessing is that the Jewish people shall dwell alone. The being alone is, as far as the Jewish people are concerned, part of a blessing. Achshav ye bodod moshavam. But now they will also be alone, but alone in desolation. They will dwell alone, but in the negative sense. Ho'ir Rabosi Am. The Pasuk says that it features the city that used to be very populated. Now is desolate. Omar Rabba Rabbi Yochanan, Shohoyu Masiyim Kitana Legodol, Gdoila Lekotan, Kidei Shiyu Lahem Bonim Harbei. Before the destruction, the population was very numerous, and it was a result of their marital practice where they would marry. They would not marry two very young people, a young girl with a young boy, When we're talking about marriage here, we're talking about people that are close to maturation. We're not talking about infants per se. Rashi elaborates on this, but the main point that we will see is that by marrying a katan with a ketana, you'll have to wait for both sides to achieve maturation, the sufficient level of maturation, in order to be able to procreate. However, where one side of the equation, the man or the woman, is already mature, and just the other one is not, you will reach a point faster where there will be procreation. Rashi explains this toward the at the end of the outside column of commentary. Ketana legodol, shichvas zera shel koton, the semen of a young boy, eno mevushal, the eno mazria. It's not considered mature and able to procreate maher rapidly. Kishel godol, at the same rate as an adult. V'chein rechem shel ketana, so to the womb of a little girl, of a young girl, eino koletes maher kishel gedola. Well, doesn't absorb and capable of hosting a baby like that of an older girl. V'fikoch, masiyim gedoylu l'katan. Therefore, they would marry an older girl to a boy who is younger. Kidei l'chitehei zara mavushal kolate maher, so that as soon as his zera would be ready for fertilizing, for procreation, the girl would already be in the position to absorb and hold the child. Uktana legodol, and likewise a young girl with an older boy, kedei shehei shichvazara kolate maher, so that the fact that he is godol, that means his zera is already capable of procreation, and that it'll take hold as soon as she becomes ready to bear children. Velo ketana lekoton, but they did not see to it that two young people would marry each other, two very young people, shishayin lahoylid, because that would create a delay in the birth, the fact that you have to wait for both sides to reach the maturation level. V'lo koton uktana mamish, we're not talking about literal little boys and girls. Elisha'imdim alpirkan, they're very close to the age of procreation. Urin heim laholi, they are fit for procreating. Umiyu ein zera shalem avushal kolkach. However, they're not. It's not as ripe or as ready as if you wait a little bit longer. Continuing in the Gemara, Hoysa ke'almona, the pasuk in Eichot says the Jewish people are compared to, or the city of Yerushalayim is compared to, is like a widow. Omar of Yudom Arav, ke'almona, v'lo almona mamish, like a widow, but not an actual widow. Elo ki'isha shalach baylo l'medias hayam v'dayto lachzor aleha. It's a very significant comment here as far as general tenets of theology are concerned. The Jewish people, even though they experienced destruction, it's not as if they're a people that were cast away completely, like a widow woman will never see her husband again. The pasuk says, Ki'almana. One letter makes all of the difference. Like a widow, but not an actual widow. Rather, it's like a woman whose husband has gone abroad, and he intends to come back. It's just not clear when. This is, of course, in contrast to the theological standpoint of other nations of the world that view the Jewish people as literal castaways, people that have been cast away by the Kodesh Baruch Hu and others chosen in their stead. This is absolutely not the case. Number 5, Rabosi Bagoyim, Sorosi Bamedinois. Amar Rabo and Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mokom Shehein Hochin, wherever Jews go, even though they are in a state of exile and destruction, nevertheless, wherever they end up, Nasin Sorin Ladunehem, they end up becoming ministers in their host countries. And how true that is when one looks over the annals of history, wherever the Jews were exiled, you'll notice in those host nations, Jewish people became people of high rank in those different governments. Tonu Rabbonon, Maise b'shnei b'nei Odom she nishbu b'har Karmel. There was an incident where two Jewish people were taken captive in the area of Har HaKarmel, v'yashaboi mahalech achareihem, and their captor was walking behind them, was trailing behind them. Omar le echod mehem lachavera, one of the captives said to his friend, as they're walking along, in front of the captives are there's a camel, and we'll see the description as this brisa unfolds. So one said to the other, Gomol shemahaleches lefonenu, sumo ba'achas meneha. We're going to see three points of observation. The first is, he observes that the camel must be blind in one eye. Number point Bays, second point, Utauna shtei nodos, and it has two flasks on it. As one who just looks at flasks, one would not know what the contents are. But he observed, Achas shel yayin v'achas shel shemen. One contains wine and the other oil. How he knows this we'll see a little later. And the third point of observation, Gimel, Ushnei b'nei Odom hamanhigen oisah, the two people that are driving the camel, there are two people accompanying the camel, Echod Yisrael v'echod Nochri. One is Jewish and the other is an idol worshipper. Omar lehen shaboi, the captor that was behind them and heard this fellow holding forth, he said, Am kshe oref, you stiff-necked people, me ayin atem yodim, how do you know all that you said? Amulo, so they answered. Point Aleph, the lettering that we have in the Gemara as it continues parallels to the three points that were already lettered off above. So as far as the ability of the animal to see only from one eye, he says, Omrulo, they answered, Gomol, me'asovim she'ufoneho, mitzad she'roya echeles, mitzad she'eno roya eno echeles. The camel, it eats from the grass that's in front of it. You'll notice this camel is eating from only one side. It's only from one side of the road is it eating the grass that's growing. From the other side, it's not eating, and that's because it eats only from that which it can see. So this is an indication, the fact that it's eating from one side of its path the whole time, it must be sighted only in one eye. Point Bays, second point, Utauna shtei nodos, achas shel yayin v'achas shel shemen, and you'll ask, how do we know that that the two flasks that it's carrying, one is oil and one is wine? The answer is shel yayin metapte v'shokea. The nature of wine is that as it drips, these two flasks were dripping as the animal was walking along, and as they proceeded, the captives were proceeding over the area, as they too were walking over the area that the drips fell, the drops fell. So they noticed that one drop was, as it dripped onto the ground, it got absorbed into the ground. That's the nature of wine. Shel yayin metaftef, it drips, v'shokea, and sinks into the ground, gets absorbed. V'shel shemen metaftef itself. The nature of the oil is as it drips, but stays at the surface. It literally floats at the top. It means it doesn't get absorbed. Ushnei b'nei Adam hamanhigim oisa echad nochri v'echad Yisrael, and the two people that are leading the animal, one is Jewish and one is an idol worshipper. And you'll ask, how do we know that? The answer is from their practices in relieving themselves. The nature of the Jewish person as is contrasted with an idol worshipper. The Jewish person is generally speaking more modest in the way he relieves himself. Nochri, the idol worshipper, nifne lederech. And the explanation on the outside margin of the Gemara is pirish shanochri nifne baderech etzel behemto. He relieves himself right on the road next to his animal. The Yisrael nifne litzdodin. The Jewish person will relieve himself off to the side. And Rashi says in the outside column, shekein derech Yisrael liyosoi tzonua. Well, after hearing all of this, Rodaf Achareihem Umotzo Kedivrahim, the captor ran ahead of them to the point to where the camel and its and the men leading it were. They were ahead in this line. And he found, Umotzo Kedivrahim, the captor found that what they said was quite accurate. The captor now turns back to where the captives are. Bo v'noshkan al roshan, he came and kissed them on their heads. V'heviyon l'beison, v'osol lahen se'udo gedoylo, and he brought them home and made for them a big meal. V'hoyo merakid l'fneim, and danced in front of them. V'omar, boruch shebochar bezaro shel Avrom, blessed be HaKadosh Baruch Hu who chose the seed of Abraham, the offspring of Avrom Avinu, v'nosan lahem mechochmosoi, and gave from them divine wisdom. This is a concept that people often hear, the description of the Jewish people having some type of additional level of wisdom. Some people notice this in achievements that one sees today, the very high percentage of Nobel Prize winners amongst the Jewish people, far out of proportion to their numbers in the general population. Where does this come from? So this Gemara seems to reflect that here we have this captor taking note of the wisdom, of their wisdom, and says that it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted them this wisdom, and he's blessing God for this. U'b'chomokam shem hochim, and wherever Jews end up, nasin sorim l'adonayim, they end up being ministers to their host countries. U'pachon v'hochu l'bateim l'shalom, and with that he parted with them, and they went to their homes in peace. Continuing with the psukim cited from Echa, number 6, Bochoi Sivke Balailo. There's a double expression here, Shtei Bechios Halalu Lomo. What's the nature of these two cryings? Omar Rabo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Echod al Mikdosh Rishon, the Echod al Mikdosh Sheni. The cryings are a reference to the destruction of the two temples, the first Beis HaMikdosh and the second Beis HaMikdosh. Balailo. The Pusuk had made reference to the crying at night. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see another numbering system. We have letters in diamonds. We featured on the side, under the Mivneh heading, Aleph through Dalet represent Pirushim al Laila, explanations regarding the word Laila in this Pusuk. So the first explanation is Al Iske Laila. Shinemar, it says regarding the spies that were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu before their entrance to Eretz Yisrael. While they were in the Midbar, 12 spies were sent, the Meraglim, and when they came back with their negative report, the people bought their report, with the exception of, we say negative, there's negative on the part of 10 out of the 12 Meraglim spies. Yehoshua and Kalev were not part of that particular group. Even though they were part of the spies, they were not part of the evil report. The people, though, bought the evil report, the negative report. Vatisa kola edo vayidnu es kulam vayivku ha'om balayla ha'hu. The nation cried out that night, the night after they heard the report from the Meraglim. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, oisoi halayla leil tisha b'av hoya. That night happened to be on the calendar the night of the 9th of Av. Omar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, God, upon seeing their reaction and their, let's say, resistance and refusal to enter the land of Israel because of this report, he said to them, Atem b'chisam b'chiyo shelchinam, you cried a cry for nothing. V'ani ekba lechem b'chiyo l'doros, but I will establish this night, the Tisha B'Av, as a night of crying for generations. Hence, we know that the temple destruction took place on Tisha B'Av, and we mourn that to this day. Dovar Acher, Balayla, another, before we go on actually with this base, we should note with our markings what we tried to accomplish by dashed underlining the expression Balayla, a few lines up, Vayivku ha'om Balayla ha'hu, and we saw how, because of that particular crying during the time of the Meraglim, this led to the crying for generations that's featured in the Pasuk in Echa. Dover Acher Beis, the second explanation, Shekola Boicha Balayla, Koloi Nishma. The significance of crying at night, since the nighttime is a quiet time, he who cries at night, his cries are heard all the more. Dover Acher Balayla, Shekol HaBoicha Balayla, Koichavum Umazolois Boichen Imo. That one who cries at night, he causes the stars and the mazolos to cry along with him. Dover Acher Balayla, Shekol HaBoicha Balayla, one who cries at night, Hashomeo Koiloi Boicha Kenegdo. Those who hear the cry their compassion is aroused, and they end up crying along with him. Maisa v'isho achas shcheinasu shram Gamliel. There was an incident involving a woman, the neighbor of Ram Gamliel, she meis bina, her son died, and she was crying over her loss at night. Shomar Gamliel, Ram Gamliel heard her cries, u'bocha kinekdo, and cried along with her. Ad shenoshu rise einov. He cried so much that his eyelashes fell out. L'mocher ikirubo tamidov. The next day, his students noticed his fallen out eyelashes, noticed this had happened to him, v'hotzi'uha mishunaso, and caused her to leave his neighborhood. In other words, they saw the great pain that she was causing. They figured it would be better for her location to be transferred. V'dim osa alechya. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. The expression of the pasuk literally means her tear is on her cheek. However, the drasha is Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, ki isha sheboicha al baal nireha. Like the crying that's described in the pasuk is like that of a woman who cries over the death of her husband of youth. Shenemar Eli kibesulo chagira sak al baal nureha. Eli is a dirge, like the virgin woman cloaked in sackcloth over the death of her husband of youth. Hoyu tzoreha l'rosh. Her oppressors take front seats. Omar Rabba, Omar Yochanan, Kol Hameitzar LiYisrael Naase Rosh. All those who oppress Israel, those nations who choose as their mandate to oppress Israel, they experience being major players, being at the head of the world politic. That, of course, is until the Kodesh Baruch Hu decides to remove them from the stage. But as we know throughout history, those nations that chose to oppress Israel ended up becoming major world powers for a certain amount of time, until of course they were removed. Kilomu af la'asher mutzaklo ke'esu rishon hekal arzo zvulun ve'arzo naftoli ve'achron hifbi derech hayam ova haryardin glil hagoyim. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. In looking at this pasuk that we just read, beginning with the expression ki lo mu'af, Rabba and Rabbi Yochanan analyzes and says, kol ha-metzik l'Yisrael, anyone who oppresses Israel, eino oyef, he doesn't tire from it. This too we see, nations who try to oppress Israel, try to beat them, they don't seem to tire from it, until they're actually completely removed from the world stage. But as long as they're around, they seem to have endless energies to oppress the people of Israel. One may note that during the Second World War, we have learned through history that the Nazi regime chose to continue train transports of Jews to the crematoria at the expense of their own troops at the front lines. And this would seem to be an ideal illustration of what a very sad illustration of what the Gemara just said that in pursuing the Jews, they don't seem to tire. They have boundless strength, even at their own expense. The Pasuk says, Lo Alechem kol Ovrei Derech. Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Yochanan Mikan, from this Pasuk we learn the concept of the Kublona min HaTorah. Kublona is a situation where a person, in telling over his troubles, he says, you shouldn't know from this, or you shouldn't suffer from this. Where a person has his own troubles and he wants to share it with others, he also prefaces that you shouldn't know from these things yourself. And that's expressed in the Pasuk that says, Lo Alechem, not unto you, you shouldn't know from it. Kol Oivrei Derech, Omar Rav Amram Omar Rav, Asauni Ka'ovrei Al Das. The destruction of the Jewish people is similar in a way to the destruction of the Anshei Sdom. Ovrei Al Das, those who violate the teachings, the right ways. Sdom was known as a place of extreme violations of the proper way of living. And that we, in our destruction, were also burnt to the ground like stone. So the way our destruction took place is similar, in a sense, to the way of stone. The Iru b'stom ksiv, Hashem himtir al stom. In the destruction of stone, it says that Hashem rained down upon them fire. The Iru b'yushalayim ksiv, mimorom shalach esh v'atzmosai v'yirdeno. Also, mimorom, from on high, just like v'himtir, which is lotion of rain, an expression of rain coming from on high down. The fire was rained down upon us as well. Vayigdal avoin bas ami mechatas zdoim. The pasuk would indicate, if you take it literally, it says that the sin of the Jewish people was greater than that of stone. Well, that gives rise to the question, v'chimasu ponim yesh badover, is there favoritism? If our sin was greater than that of stone, then why is it that stone was eradicated and never to be rebuilt again, but the destruction of Yerushalayim is not of a permanent nature, but is rebuilt, is to be rebuilt? So why is it? Is there masu ponim, is there favoritism? Omar Rabba, Omar Rav Yochanan, Mida Yisera Hoysa B'Yerushalayim Shelo Hoysa B'Sdoim. There was an extra measure. Now Rashi, in explaining this, has two pshatim. Either an extra measure of goodness, there was a certain aspect of goodness that the Jewish people had which Sdom did not, or the opposite, more an interpretation of a very different nature. There was an extra measure of punishment that Yerushalayim received that did not take place in Sdom, and because of that extra measure of punishment, there that spared Yerushalayim from the permanent desolation. The Gemara explains, the Ilu b'stom ksiv, hine ze hoya avoin stom achosef, goin sivas lechem, viad oni ve'evyon lo herziko. In the destruction of stom, they were destroyed at a point that they sivas lechem, they were satisfied with bread. In other words, they had plenty. And part of their sin was the fact that they didn't offer any assistance to the poor. But they had plenty. The Ilu b'Yerushalayim ksiv, but when it came to the destruction of Jerusalem, they had reached such levels of famine that Yidei Noshim Rachmonios Bishlu Yaldehen Hoyu Livorois Lomoi B'Shever Basami. The famine was so great that women ended up eating their own children. So for this extra measure of punishment, this extra level of intense famine that Jerusalem experienced, which stone did not experience, this served to spare Yerushalayim from permanent destruction. What we just said was according to one of the two pshatim in Rashi. One can look into Rashi for the second pshat as well. The pasuk says, Sila kol abirai Hashem bekirbi. Rashi, you'll notice on the little less than halfway down in the inside column of commentary, Silai, Sila, Lashon Mesila. It's an expression referring to a path, Klomar. Kol ha'abirim, all the strong ones, Poslam HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'asom psulim ukvushim. He made them, he rendered them unfit and as if trampled under. Kemesila zu, like a path. A pathway is something that's trampled over. V'hainu damyo l'matbea shenifsal v'ein lo takona. And in the Gemara will explain that they were like coins that were nifsal, and that coins that were rendered unfit and no longer having any benefit. Coins in the sense that, in this particular analogy, we're focusing on something that's puzzle, rendered unfit, trampled, and hence having no reparation later on. That's what the Gemara says. Silo ko avire Hashem b'kirbi ka'odom sh'omer l'chaveru nifsalo matbea zu. Like one says to his friend, this coin has become puzzle, has become is no longer in circulation. Potsu oleho p'em. Omar Rabo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, b'shvil ma hikdim pei la'ayin. Why, in the ordering of these words, you have the word potsu with a pei preceding the word olecho, with starting with the word ayin. In the order of the letters of the alphabet, ayin comes before pei. So, Rabo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan says, b'shvil he raises the question, "Bishvil ma hikdim pei la'ayin?" And the answer is, "Bishvil meraglim sha'amru b'fihem mashalo ro be'einehem." With our markings, you can see the point emphasized here in the answer. The word b'fihem, the pei, is squiggle underlined. The meraglim said things. The spies described things concerning the land of Israel, things that they did not actually see with their eyes. So in other words, they put their mouths before their eyes. Ochle ami ochlu lechem, Hashem lo koro'u. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, kol ha'ochel milachmon shel Yisrael, toyem ta'am lechem, v'she'eino ochel milachmon shel Yisrael, einoi toyem ta'am lechem. Those who eat the bread of Israel, this is a reference to those who steal and plunder Israel, they enjoy it. They enjoy they enjoy that which they stole. It's like another expression that says, Mayim genuvim yintoku, which says, stolen waters are sweet. So here we could say, stolen bread is very tasty. That which is not stolen from Israel has less appeal. Hashem lo korou. Rav Omar Elu Hadayonim. The Rashi explains this a little bit further. Elu Hadayonim Mate Mishpat. This pasuk is referring to judges that twisted justice. B'shvil Avonoseim Hoyu Lechem Ami L'Maychol Oivov. And because of their twisting of justice, because of that sin, the Jewish people ended up being plundered. That's what is incorporated in this pasuk, Hashem lo korou. Ushmul Omar, Shmuel's pshat on this is, Eilu melamdei tinoikos, this is a reference to the people in charge of elementary education, that they did not practice their trade, practice their profession in an honest way. And as a result of that, Shmuel says, we were plundered. As you notice, there's a slash that appears. That means that the ensuing Gemara is of a new or unrelated nature to that which we were discussing till now. Here, the Gemara asks, who is the one responsible for creating the list of kings and commoners in the Mishnah that are deemed to have no chelek l'olam haba? Who established that list? Mi mon'on, who counted them? Omar Vashi, Anshe Knesses HaGadoyla Mon'um. the members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, they are the ones that established this list. Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Bikshu Oid Limnos Echod. There was an attempt to count another king, Shlomo HaMelech, and to declare that he too loses his chelek in Olam Haba. A rather shocking revelation. Of course, we know that he's not in the list. The question, though, is if there had been an attempt to put him in that list, what caused him to be spared from it? On the side of our Gemara, in the marked edition, in the Shas Ozer, you see the Nosei Mivneh. You'll notice a house form. Four Nisyonos, Limnoa Menias Shlomo HaMelech, Bein Elu Shein Lem Chelek L'Olam Abba. We'll see four attempts to prevent him from being counted, to prevent Shlomo HaMelech from being a part of this list. Not all of them were successful, though. Bo Dmus Dyukno Shel Aviv. The image of David came and appeared v'nishtatcha lifneim and cast itself in front of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, pleading on behalf of his son, don't count him, v'lo hishgichu aleha, and they did not pay attention to this form of David HaMelech. Bo eish min ha-shamayim v'lichko eish v'safsaleim. A fire came down from heaven, threatening them and literally scorching their seats, and they did not pay attention to this threatening fire either. Yotzo basko v'omra Elohim, a heavenly voice came forth and said, Chazisa ish mohir b'melachto lifnei melochim yisyatzov, bal yisyatzev lifnei chashukim. Notice this man who's diligent in his work, namely Shlomo HaMelech. I don't want him to stand amongst the chashukim, the dark ones, in Gehenna. Mish, and now a description of why he's called Ish Mohir B'Mlachto, the great praise due to Shlomo. Misha Hikdin Beisi LeBeiso. He toiled with the building of the Beis HaMikdash before his own palace. V'lo od elo shebeisi bono b'sheva shana v'beiso bono b'shloshes reishana. He built the temple rapidly in 7 years, and his own house took him much longer, 13 years. Lifnei melochem yisyatzev, he shall stand in Gan Eden with kings. Bal yisyatzev lifnei chashukim, but he shall not stand with those in the dark in Gehenna. V'lo hishkiach aleha, and they, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, did not heed this heavenly voice either. Yotza basko v'omra. And finally, another heavenly voice came forth and said, Ha me'imcho yishalmeno, ki mo'asto, ki ato tivchar v'lo ani? Do you think you are the ones who are going to establish who loses his chelik olam haba and not me? Dorshe rishumos hoyu omrim. Dorshe rishumos, a reference to those that darshan psukim. They said, Kulon boin li olam haba. All of them are going to come to Olam Haba. The list, this Kulam includes, under the kings, we saw Yerovam, Achav, and Menashe, under the Hedyotos, Gehazi, Achitofel, and Doyeg. Bilam will not be mentioned in this particular list as we go on, but nevertheless, these say, based on a posuk, that those mentioned in the Mishnah will eventually come into Olam Haba. Shenemar, and we see a pasuk. First, the Gemara cites the pasuk, and then as we go on, it's broken up to show a reference to each one of the individuals we just mentioned. So the pasuk says, Li Gilad v'li Menashe, Ephraim Oz Roshi, Yehuda Mechokiki, Moav Sir Rachatzi, Al Edoy Mashlich Nali, Olai Pleshes Hisroi Oi. Rashi says, toward the very end, he says, Li gilad v'li menashe, olai lisvoil avoinam. Upon me is to absorb, to bear their sins. Kadesh yu heim zochim. I, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, says, I will absorb their sins, so as to provide them merit and receive a portion in the world to come. We now break up this pasuk into its individual parts, each one a reference to one of the aforementioned individuals. Li Gilad ze Achav. This is a reference to Achav shenofal baramos Gilad, who died in Ramos Gilad. Menashe, the Pusik had made reference to Menashe, that's Kimashma'o, a reference to the man named Menashe. Ephraim Ho'oiz Roshi, Ze Yeravam Deka'osi Me'ephraim. That's a reference to Yeravam, who came from Ephraim. In our markings, of course, we see, in addition to the underlinings, which are the sections of the Pusik that was quoted, we dashed underlined the individuals being referred to. Yehuda Mechokiki, Ze Achitofel Deka'osi Me'Yehuda. This is a reference to Achitofel, who was from the tribe of Yehuda, and Rashi describes how one can conclude that Achitofel was from Yehuda. Moyov Siorachatzi, Ze Gehazi. This is a reference to Gehazi Shelloka al Iske Rechitza, who originally experienced his downfall over matters concerning bathing. And Gehazi's whole downfall involved the incident with Naaman, who bathed in the Yarden for healing his tzaras. So for our purposes, the term Rachatzi in this pasuk is a hint or a remez to Gehazi, who was involved with inyonim, with issues of rechitza. Al Edoim Ashlich Nadi Ze Doig HaEdomi Olai Pleshes Hisroi Omru Malachi Ashoris Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have squiggled underlined Malachi Ashoris, and shortly Omar Lehem, the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to them. They ask, Ribbono Sholom, Im Yovoi Doeg, Im Yovoi David, Shahara Gesaplishti, Vahorish es Bonecha, Gas. If David comes along, and this is who defeated the Plishti, in the pasuk that we're analyzing, we saw the expression, Olai Pleshes. Pleshes, a reference to David HaMelech, who defeated the Plishti, Goliath, and enabled the Jews to take over Gas, Vahorish es Bonecha Gas. Ma ato oiselo. What are you going to do when he comes with a complaint concerning Doeg? Doeg and Achitofel were people who tried to stab David in the back, so to speak. They sought out David's downfall. And when David realizes that you are going to grant them a portion in the world to come, he's going to come up in arms about that. What are you going to say? The Malachi Ashoris asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you going to do with David? Omar Lohen. So he answers, and this is also paraphrasing the Pasuk, Olai La'asoyson Re'im Ze Lo Ze. The Pasuk said, Hisroi'oi, it is my job, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make them Re'im, friends with one another. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.